Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
He said, "If I ever see you with someone else, I'll shoot you in your pretty face." 1 hour of disturbing and creepy psychopath stories. My nephew, through marriage, is a crazy little shit. Once, the entire family was playing hide and seek. He was around 9. He didn't like where I hid, so he flew into a rage. He tried to hit me. I grabbed his wrist and twisted just enough to subdue him. He screamed like a freaking maniac. I released him. He then ran into another room stating he needed his Nerf gun to shoot me because he shoots people whenever he's mad. I looked at my sister-in-law and said, "Seriously, you're okay with this?" Her response was that his rage was my fault, I had no right to touch him, and that I should have just let him hit me since he's only a boy. I told her, quite firmly, that if her crazy little bastard ever even gave the appearance of causing harm to one of my children, that I would put him down like a rabid dog. Fortunately, I guess, her husband, my wife's parents, and everyone else present told her that she was wrong, her kid was nuts, and that this was a serious red flag. Flash forward 2 years. Kid is still crazy, but that's everyone else's problem because he's still just a boy. I'm staying at their house. Things have mostly settled from that prior incident. I wake up very early every morning. So around 4:30, I find myself awake. I don't want to get up and wake up everyone else, so I just sort of lie there and meditate. At around 5:20, the door opens. Thinking it's my kids, who were young at the time and still came to get us early, I kind of just glance up. Then I notice that it's the nephew, and he's holding what appears to be an AR-15. Now, I suffer from PTSD from Iraq. So my fight or flight response is triggered, my heart is pounding, and I'm basically in survival mode. I wait. I watch. He creeps past the foot of the bed, walks up to my side, and raises this rifle up to point the muzzle at my face. So I figure, this is it. I'm going to die. Today it ends. The only goal I have for myself right now is to prevent him from harming my wife and kids. He raises it up and the muzzle is a few inches from my face. I reached up, I grabbed the muzzle and I pushed as hard as I could, sending the butt into the little psycho's face. His nose is bleeding, he's crying, he's screaming about how he's going to kill me, how I'm dead, etc. So now everyone is awake. Lights are flipped on and I see that it's a toy rifle made to look like an AR-15. Apparently, this little psycho was planning to stick the muzzle in my face and pull the trigger to scare the crap out of me with flashing lights and electronic gun sounds. I feel somewhat torn. On the one hand, I just broke an 11-year-old's nose for playing with a toy gun. On the other hand, the kid had all of these tells that he was dangerous and what he was doing was super creepy and yet another red flag. My sister-in-law was pissed. Her chosen narrative is that I'm a mentally unstable lunatic who is a danger to all children. She calls the cops. She insists, despite the protestations of my wife, that she's having me arrested and charged with child abuse for hitting a boy for playing with his toys. Police arrive. Interviews take basically the whole day. I'm a little worried that, getting arrested aside, I might not be able to leave this place and go home the next day as planned because these cops might not be done with their investigation. Fortunately, it didn't play out that way. See, this little we need to talk about Kevin Butthole wasn't just a crazy shit around me like in the movies. He was a crazy little shit everywhere and had been for years. The police had a file on him because the school was required to call the police every time he threatened a school shooting, which was often. I laid out my version of events much like I did here. I didn't see him and have a flashback thinking he was an insurgent. I saw him, I knew what he is going through his head, and I wanted to try to prevent him from killing my family. They did let me go home on schedule. And a week later the detective called me to let me know there would be no charges. He also told me that his interview with my nephew was chilling and he hopes that my sister-in-law pulls her head out of the sand and gets the kid some help. I told him she won't ever. And when he's 30 years old and on trial, she'll be crying and saying he's just a boy. Hopefully he doesn't hurt anyone, but I know the odds are stacked against that hope. Before anyone asks, I refuse to stay at their house. If we are in town, we stay in our hotel. He is never allowed to be alone with either of my kids. And he is also not allowed in my house since he was caught trying to steal a pocket knife which he said he needed for surgery on the family cat. He was almost 12 at the time. I once woke up to my little sister trying to smother me, but thankfully she was also too small to get the job done. We were 7 and 5. It was the first of 3 attempts she made on my life growing up. She did it because I had refused to sleep on her bed as a sacrifice to the boogeyman. Longer story, we had our own rooms, but I hadn't been allowed to sleep in mine for 2 years. She'd have a fit every time I tried to sleep in my own bed, and our parents would convince me to stay in her room just to get everyone to bed. They went so far as to install a bunk bed in her room, but she still insisted we share just one bed. One night, I woke up to her wetting the bed. I was angry because I didn't even want to be there in the first place, and now I was covered in pee. She screamed at me to get back in bed, and when I didn't, she got up and tried to attack me, smearing yet more pee all over me. So we were both shrieking at this point, and our parents woke up and came down. I don't remember the exact conversation since it's been almost 30 years, but the gist of it was that first she demanded I sleep in the piss puddle and she would just sleep against the wall and we'd pretend nothing had happened, and when my parents didn't agree, she became very distressed and admitted that she thought there was a monster in the closet, and had been insisting I sleep in the same bed with her so it wouldn't kill her. And she was terrified that if I moved back to my room, or even to a different mattress, she'd be eaten. Remember, she's only 5, my parents pulled the mattress off the top bunk and dragged the P1 outside and convinced me to be a good big sister and defend her from the monster. Reluctantly, I let myself be shuffled back into bed with her. I don't remember if it was that night or the next night, but as soon as we were alone, she whispered to me that she makes me sleep on the same mattress with her because someday the monster will come out to eat one of us, and she's going to escape while it's eating me. Without a word, I got up and moved to my room. I was willing to be there to defend her from her monster, but not to be a distraction for it. When our parents came down to investigate the screaming, I refused to move back to her room, and they finally relented. Later that night, I woke up because I couldn't breathe. My sister was on my bed trying to suffocate me with this blank, dead expression on her face. When our parents came back to investigate yet more yelling, she told them she'd just come into my room because she was scared of the monster. They didn't believe me that she was trying to smother me. I started sleeping with my door locked. I didn't think my sister would murder me, per se, because she enjoyed abusing me too much to straight up kill me. One of the biggest things that sticks out from my childhood growing up with her abuse was occasionally if I was sitting on the couch, back of couch facing kitchen, she'd come up behind me and run a butcher knife along my shoulders and neck until I turned around and realized she had a knife. I think she just enjoyed the fear in me realizing what was going on, that look of oh my god that was a knife? Why the hell do you have a knife? My sister did stuff like this my whole childhood, and even after she was 19 and I was 17 she'd do crazy stuff like throwing a knife across the living room at me if she was mad enough at me. I cut contact with her as soon as I was able to leave at 18. My mom was 19 when I was born and we had a very close relationship when I was little. She was always more of a friend than a mom, and that's just how our relationship was. Before my stepdad, I was always sarcastic all the time, and we joked around a lot. One morning my mom asked me to take the pizza boxes from last night's dinner out to the garage where we put the cardboard recycling. I jokingly told her no as I gathered up the boxes to take them out. I took them out, put them on top of the stack of other cardboard, and turned around to go back into the house and I bumped into my stepdad who had come in behind me without me noticing. He then proceeded to lift my 13-year-old body completely off of the ground by my throat, and pinned me against the wall of the house. He got in my face and was screaming at me about disrespect. I remember flecks of spit getting on my face. My feet were back on the ground but I was still pinned and his hands were around my throat. I was able to get one of his hands in my mouth and I was biting and scratching him. I don't remember what happened next. I don't remember how I got to school. The next thing I remember is sobbing in a private ensemble room in the band hall. My mom still doesn't believe me. Over the next 2 years he continuously got worse and permanently destroyed my relationship with my mother. I started sleeping with a knife under my pillow when he was home. I started running away and doing drugs. Eventually my behavior became bad enough that my mom sent me to live with my biological father. Life is better now. I am safe. I still have the occasional nightmare and cannot stand any sort of confrontation whatsoever but I'll be okay. I have a male cousin who I strongly suspect is some kind of sociopath. When I was a child, I'm female by the way, I lived next door. He was in high school and I was in grade school. His family had a pool and we would often go over and hang out, which I dreaded because this cousin would, when no one was looking, sneak up on me and either throw me into the water or get in with me if I were already in and hold me under until I was so out of breath I would actually breathe in water and go limp. He would pull me up with me coughing and choking, or I would claw desperately gasping for breath. He was laughing all the way. It was horrendous, and it was creepy how jovial his expression was. He did this all the time, and his parents or one of mine, usually my grandmother, would either mildly admonish him if caught, or he would do it when no one was around. For some reason I was afraid to tell the extent of his abuses. There were smaller things, little acts of harassment like scaring me, taking my stuff, pulling my hair, taunting me, but the near drownings were the
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
The worst. This all went down at the ages of me being 5 to 9 and him 14 to 18. He also picked me up and literally held me, feet first, over the railing of the Royal Gorge Bridge on a family vacation. I think I went into shock, and I just recall becoming very still. For that he did get in trouble at least. He apologized because he was forced, but his eyes were always kind of dead but with a sparkle if he were doing something egregious. Like a happy kind of twinkle. Oh yeah, once he had his brother hold me down while he poured tequila down my throat. He did get caught for that because I had to go to the ER. As a kid he was always running away and once killed a stray cat by choking it with barbed wire. He had on some kind of leather gloves. Weird thing is that all the neighborhood boys thought it was cool rather than call out as crazy. When he turned 16 and drove, he would purposefully run over stray animals and laugh and brag about it. No one did anything. Enablers for sure. Talk about normalizing or minimizing bizarre behavior. He was extremely good looking, like model material, but not to me. Because I saw what he was under the skin, the high school quarterback, adored by all. Girls fought over him. He played football on a scholarship at a Division I SEC school, but suffered a knee injury that ended his career. In high school and college he was always getting in trouble, frequent fights and DUIs, but he got bailed out every time and again, probably due to his athletic ability. It was swept under the rug. He also bragged he had his girlfriends do his schoolwork. He has been married 3 times and has stuck with his third wife, who is a martyr type. Scary thing is he is now a high school football coach and has been for decades and was just promoted to assistant principal. Scary, because I think he has no business working with minors. My mom, brother, and I came home to find all of my mother's diplomas and certificates had been gathered into a pile on the floor of our shared bedroom and burned. My mom is blind and had not been given much schooling as a child. So she worked her butt off once we were in school to get an education. Unfortunately, at this time we were forced to live with my grandmother and 2 mentally ill uncles. One of the uncles had a grow room, and the other didn't approve of pot, so he destroyed the room and blamed my mother. Dealer uncle became enraged and decided to burn my mom's certificates because you destroyed something I love, so I destroyed something you love. Your kids are next. This was a week after he shot my brother's cat because he was angry she had kittens in his boat. I've blocked out the next couple of weeks because apparently they were pretty bad, but I'm told that we had to disappear that night with only what we could carry in garbage bags. Not a family member, but my mother dated a crazy person after her divorce. We moved into an apartment and he moved in with us not long after. He had long hair and blue eyes and a beard and was the spitting image of white Jesus. And he took it to heart after a few people told him about the resemblance. He pulled me aside one day and told me that he had a secret and he wanted to tell me, but I couldn't tell anyone else because the government was looking for him. He confided in me that he was in fact Jesus Christ and that he escaped from a government facility after being captured in 1964. He said he escaped with the help of the Pope during his visit to the USA. The Pope's private security force broke him out, and once he was free the Pope advised him to blend in with regular people. He said the Pope told him to not draw any attention to himself. So no miracles, and tell no one. But he trusted me with this information. Jesus Christ was a roofer, in case you were curious. He constantly carried around his roofing hammer and one day it went missing. Jesus lost his mind. He locked my mother, my girlfriend, and myself in our apartment until it was found. This lasted 3 days. I was 18 at the time and was much larger than him and would have had no problem physically removing Jesus from our apartment, but my mother insisted he was having a mental episode and if I hurt him or did anything it may mess him up even worse. Turns out he left the hammer, which is really pretty much a hatchet, at a job site and a coworker drove over to return it. I sat there like an idiot and watched this guy hand an axe to this lunatic and did nothing. Big mistake. Our 3-day-long lockdown turned into 5 days. The final 2 days was this illiterate nutcase attempting to read aloud from the Bible, getting maybe 1 in 5 words right. Remember in school when the teacher would have people read aloud and go around the room, and there was always a dude you knew couldn't read, and his part would last 10 times longer than everyone else's part? Imagine that for 48 hours. Jesus would only let us eat bread and water. And the bread ran out quickly. There was a lake outside our apartment, and on the 5th day Jesus was looking through the blinds at the lake and called me over to him. He confided in me again. He said, "You know I can walk right across that lake and right up into heaven." I replied, "If you do that, I'll follow you anywhere." "Go for it, man, I would love to see you do that." My plan was to get him out of the apartment and lock the door so my mom and girlfriend would be safe. And pray to this guy's dad that I can run faster than him and make it to a payphone to call 911. He looked at me with his crazy eyes and said, "You trying to get me caught?" I said, "No miracles." He raised up his roofing hammer and told me the only way I was following him anywhere was in the afterlife. It was at that point I thought, I'm going to die, and then he is going to kill my mother and girlfriend. I came to the sudden realization that I no longer cared if Jesus's mental breakdown would be affected by me beating the crap out of him or not. That was no longer my problem. Mid-rant about some religious stuff about 2 inches from my face, I swung as hard as I could and punched him right in the sternum. He still had the hatchet cocked over his shoulder, like someone throwing a football, so the blow caused him to lose his balance and fall over a dining room chair. He crumpled in a heap, and my mother, ever the cool head, screamed at me for hitting him. I had knocked the wind out of him and he was gasping for air. My mother assumed he was dying. I would learn later in adulthood my mother was not the brightest light bulb. My girlfriend booked out the door with me close behind after grabbing my mother's arm and dragging her out of the door. I called the police and they came and got him. Last I heard, he was in a hospital after he locked himself in a bedroom still saying he was Jesus. He was committed after he used a metal throwing dart to pick veins out of his arm. Never did get to see him walk across that lake though. Listening to my dad trying to persuade my mom they should kill me. I was about 8 maybe. I was a difficult child and my dad often couldn't cope. I remember sitting on the stairs while they were in the lounge listening to their argument. Eventually he persuaded my mom, and I heard them moving, so I ran upstairs to hide. My dad came up and dragged me into the lounge. He was holding me down on the floor shouting to my mom, "Do you want me to do it? I'll do it if you wanted me to." She was crying and couldn't decide. Eventually she said no and he let me go, and I ran back upstairs. I think they planned to kill me a few times, but that was the scariest one. Another time my dad asked me to give him a hand getting something out of the shed. When my back was turned, he hit me in the back of the head with a hammer. I turned around and he was staring at me. His eyes looked like they were going to pop out. I ran past him to go to my mom, who was making dinner in the kitchen. I was crying and shouting about what just happened, but she didn't look at me or say anything. She wasn't shocked. It was like she knew what he was going to do. We were like a normal family in many ways. I went to school, went on holidays, I went out with friends, just bad things would happen at home that nobody else knew about. I think the worst things happened before I hit puberty. As a teenager it got better, but we really got on. I would barely speak to him and he used to get really angry that I was ignoring him, but there wasn't any more physical violence. I remember when I was 15 maybe, we were arguing in the living room and he came charging towards me. It was the first time I stood up to him. I charged back at him with my fists raised. I was so angry and I thought I could take him. He backed off straight away. He looked like he was hugging himself as he ran off. From what I remember, he didn't try to hit me again after that. I don't know if this is true, but I was doubled up with stomach pain one night. My dad told me my mom tried to poison me. He brought it up in a few arguments. My mom was a sweet woman. I can't imagine her wanting to kill me off her own accord. I think my dad persuaded her to poison me. I left home at 18 when I went to university. I don't understand why I didn't leave sooner. I know I was scared of how I would cope in the big wide world, and that's what stopped me leaving. I felt broken, like I wouldn't be able to support myself. I moved into a house with my best friend and 6 others. I remember thinking it was so weird how nobody shouts at each other. I'm not in contact with my parents. My dad died a few years ago from brain cancer. I barely spoke to him before he died. I don't speak to my mom. She denies anything ever happened, that he never hit me, and we just had some bad arguments sometimes. I don't feel like I could have anything to do with her until she acknowledges how things were when I was young. I think she is scared of the truth coming out. My sister is a sociopath. It took me a lot of years to realize this and stop rationalizing it. I'm a diabetic and have been in comas. During the last one in 2015, after a year of no contact, she showed up at the hospital saying I had expressed to her that my wishes were do not resuscitate. About 12 of my friends shouted her down and I woke up 3 days later on my own. If I had coded during that time, however, there would have been a lot of gray area around if they were allowed to revive me. About 4 months later she took out a life insurance policy on me and asked me to sign it. I said no. I no longer speak to her. I dated someone who I now believe is a sociopath. The most uncomfortable thing while we were dating was that he would constantly whisper things in my ear in public, in earshot of other people, like, "Do you think I look hot right now? Or do you think I'm cool?" And the first few times I thought he was joking, so I laughed, and he'd get angry. He wanted a serious answer. He wanted me to tell him how much I wanted to jump his bones right there in front of all of our friends, while they were watching and listening. I'd get lectured afterwards like, "You know, you really insulted me personally when you laughed at me in front of everyone." He could also cry on cue to get what he wanted, and as soon as he got what he wanted, it would instantly switch off and he'd turn very serious and tell me what a horrible person I was. The instant emotional switches are disarming. When he broke up with me, I went from being his favorite person in the world to instantly at the very bottom of his list. He laughed when I cried on multiple occasions, calling me ridiculous. What's very alarming about people like him is how many people they can get on their side with their charm. None of his current friends know anything about his behavior behind closed doors. And they're all new people. All the people who caught on when we were dating are gone from his life. He has convinced his new friends that I'm a psychopath because I tried to tell others what happened. So whenever I say anything about what a creepy is, I get brigaded by the new people who are now being manipulated. Also, he is completely dead in the face and eyes, until you interact with him, and then it's like he becomes animated. I was making some brownies. My sister was visiting for some reason. Maybe it was Christmas. Anyway, I like my brownies gooey and hot, so I'm cutting into them a little earlier than I should. Sister flips out and starts beating on me, grabbing heavier and more dangerous weapons from whatever she can reach, pans, rolling pins, etc. Becomes a scuffle where she keeps screaming, "Stop hitting me!" while all I'm doing is grabbing her wrists to avoid taking one to the head. Maybe it's not the most uncomfortable she's made me or the most evil thing she's done, and she's done worse to people we aren't related to, I know. But when people ask why is your sister so crazy, that's the memory that comes into my head. Her gigantic freak out over brownies that I was making. Someone replied, "I've encountered something like this before, and it was equally bizarre to see for the first time. It was college, I shared a suite with three roommates. I was in a side room and one roommate and a visitor were in the main one. The two involved had minimal prior contact. The visitor, female, blew up at the roommate, male, over a minor annoyance, in this case is peeling packing tape off the roll, I guess it was too loud or something. Literally in about 60 seconds she escalated from these weird irritated whine growls, to demands for him to stop, to insults, and then it was suddenly hitting, kicking, scratching, threats, like a full-on tantrum. Anytime that he did anything to defend himself, putting his arms up, grabbing at her wrists, pushing her back, she would start screaming in pain and saying things like stop, how could you do that? What's wrong with you? Comma and saying it like she meant it. Everything she did was way out of proportion with what was happening in reality. Crazy. The moment I made my presence known, she detached herself from the encounter, made a frustrated sound, and stomped off. Barely an hour later, she's back like absolutely nothing happened. I've been long-time friends with a sociopath. He is honestly like my brother. We have developed this relationship that basically treats me like his moral compass, but it doesn't always work. He is still manipulative and cruel at times, and he does only truly care about himself, but he tries to be a good person because he doesn't want to be a butthole. This being said, my most uncomfortable moment with him would have to be when he was telling me about watching some guy almost die. He was telling me how he knew he should have stopped watching and helped him. But he was too interested in what the outcome would be if he didn't help. It was creepy to know that as hard as he may try to be a decent person, sometimes he still can't help himself. He once tried to manipulate me to come in and work basically 50 hours, 10 of which would be off the clock so that I didn't get overtime, because he knew that if he could keep labor low on his shift he could get a promotion. He would also expressly lie to my face about giving me a break, saying verbatim, "I'll come back here in a moment and take over, so that you can go on break," then he would just never come. Then when the time has passed to where a break would be irrelevant, i.e. 30 minutes before my shift is over, he'd offer again. I have a friend who's a pathological liar. He's also mostly Scottish in heritage, Northern Scotland, where the Viking influence is. He's 6 feet 8 inches, 350 pounds when he's watching his weight, 400 plus when he isn't, and there's a lot of muscle to go with everything else. The lies aren't all that awful most of the time. He's known as a very entertaining storyteller and everyone knows he'll embellish greatly from time to time. But he can't keep a girlfriend, apparently he can't be honest, is a pathological cheater. The lies catch up with his relationships in a few weeks at most. One day we were in a taxi together and he got the idea that the driver was taking a route that was unnecessarily long. He stopped the cheerful story he was telling me mid-sentence. His face changed and he barked at the cab driver in a voice I'd never heard, loud and angry and aggressive. The cab driver immediately pulled over and let us out without paying, and a good thing too, I think my friend was about to kill him. I was petrified in my seat, I felt like he might kill everyone in range, I was terrified. It was the last time I spent time with him, though I'd known him for 20 years. I later learned that he won't associate with someone after they've seen him snap, as one of his other ex-friends put it. In high school, my boyfriend at the time and I shared a math class together. It was well known we were dating, so I would always take him his homework via teacher's request if he missed. He skipped a lot. I broke up with him over Christmas break, he cheated on me. Math teacher obviously still assumed we were together, so he asked me to bring him his homework. I did. Got to his house, wanting to drop it off at his doorstep. He told me to come in and explain it to him. He locked his bedroom door and started saying stuff like, "If I can't have you then no one else can, I could get you back in a second. Just admit it," etc. Then the true kicker, "If I killed you or if you died, I would keep your body in my closet or hung behind my door just to have sex with it." Disclaimer, I never had sex with him and I think that killed him. He then proceeded to try to make out with me and jam his hands down my pants. He actually thought it was endearing and had no idea why I was so upset. I got out. Called my mom to pick me up. And ran back to the school, he lived close. Terrifying. To this day I'm still horrified about it and him. Last I heard he was trying to be a magician, looks like Charles Manson, and is in and out of psych wards. Someone in our extended family. He offered to kill my cat for me to save a vet bill. The cat wasn't sick. Or old. He was just very enthusiastic about helping us out with that particular issue. He's not allowed to be alone with pets anymore. But this wasn't the first incident. At a family gathering he took the family dog for a walk. He returned with the dog soaking wet. It was December, and he claimed the dog had chased a squirrel into the river. People didn't entirely believe that story, somehow. He also tends to just leave gatherings without telling anyone, sleeps in the garden instead of on the couch, and he rarely blinks. He is just altogether a little odd. My brother is a sociopath, as well as a homeless heroin junkie. For the most part he stays hidden from view and away from my family. During his active times where he comes around looking for money from family members is the most uncomfortable, because when he doesn't get it he resorts to burglary. Having to leave home not knowing if you'll be burglarized is stressful. I wish he would just go to prison already. It would be so much better for everyone. I married one. Last straw was the day I caught his reflection as I passed by. Pure evil and hatred in his eyes. I told him I was leaving the following week. He said, "If I ever see you somewhere with someone else, I won't say a word to you." I said okay. He then added, "I'll just walk up to you and shoot you in your pretty face." I was moving some things out and looked under the bed for a pair of shoes. Found his guns, fully loaded and out of their cases under his side of the bed. I went to the cops. Nothing came of it. Fast forward and he remarries before the ink is dry on the divorce. New wife shoots him in the head and kills him in his sleep. Proceeds to kill herself with his pain pills. Yeah. I sleep better these days. My uncle. We found out things in bits and pieces. My dad and he worked together. He got my dad fired by saying all sorts of lies to their boss, and then pretended to be the white knight by offering him a job in another country where he's living. Money was tight back then and we were in a lot of debt, so dad agreed. He took him there, gave him work, but also made him a slave to his wife and kids who also lived there. Dad was expected to cook food, wash the dishes, clean up the dining table after uncle's family ate, and then eat himself. Yes. Dad didn't tell us until much later. According to the rules set by uncle, he wasn't to contact us often, should mind his own damn business even if his daughter didn't turn up home all night, and keep his mouth shut about work. Dad was miserable there and we couldn't do much because, again, That job was a welcome relief to us. Uncle, meanwhile, would come every night to our home, have breakfast and dinner that my mom generously cooked because his family was abroad, while bitching about my dad in front of us. One day I had finally reached my breaking point and I started crying because I felt horrible for Dad, who was trying so hard to make things right for us. Uncle just sat opposite to me smiling. Goddamn smiling. We'll never forget that psycho grin on his face. Days later, Dad suddenly turned up unannounced at home. Turns out he'd been dumped by Uncle to our city without prior notice. Dad had no guts to tell us what happened. We realized Uncle was a psychopath later. He'd routinely mentally torture people and enjoy their misery while pretending to offer sympathies and help. He's in a powerful spot, so he offers his victims jobs. Once they accept, he makes them entirely dependent on him. He'd then put his victims under even more psychological stress, be it threatening to cut off ties or getting them fired if they disagreed with him. My dad was really messed up for days. He'd swing from utter despair to not speaking for days to extreme violence to absolutely broken. Got beaten up a bit for trying to calm him down. Dad could finally regain his mental sanity after we cut off all ties to that uncle. Last we heard, he wants to contact my dad because their brothers and people realized what a piece of human excrement he is, so they avoid him too. Dad's like, oh hell nah. I remember from a very early age that my mom would just stand in the entrance to my room with a knife. This didn't happen very often, maybe 2 to 3 times a year. When I was 9, I finally asked her why she would do this. I'll never forget how she said this. She looked me dead in the eyes and said that I was a mistake and she was deciding if she should do what she should have done a long time ago. I asked to move in with my grandma a week later. Thinking about how she said it still gets my heart racing 22 years later. I don't know if I can accurately describe it, but every single hair on my body stood straight up. I was paralyzed with fear and I felt like if I moved too suddenly she would strike. Backstory: Mom had me when she was 16 and regularly told me that I ruined her life. She was a habitual drug user and alcoholic. She told me that if she had the money she would have had an abortion. I dated one a bit over a decade ago. He fits the description of a sociopath more than a psychopath, but he's also narcissistic. We dated on high school for a little over a year. Aside from the constant gaslighting, lies, manipulation and threats, he was basically a bad person who warped my mind so much that I actually believed I'd be nothing without him. Whether driving erratically with me in car when I questioned him, or threatening physical violence on me and my family if I broke up with him, he was truly terrifying by the end of our relationship. The absolutely most uncomfortable and terrifying moment was when he put a loaded hunting rifle in my face. He was addicted to weed. I don't believe weed's a dangerous drug at all, but he was so psychology warped that he believed he was going through severe physical and mental withdrawals if he went a day or two without smoking. One night he decided he was going to rob a small convenience store in his town for weed money. I stepped in front of his door to block his path and he pointed the gun at me. I bravely broke up with him a few days later, blocked him on social media, wouldn't answer his calls, and wouldn't answer the door when he showed up to my parents' house. It took months for him to get the point that I was serious. 12 years later and I still have nightmares of him. My sister feels nothing but rage. When she doesn't feel rage, she feels, literally, nothing. She spends her life manipulating everyone around her and satisfying that rage. She mercilessly abused me growing up. She tried to kill me 3 times before I moved out. No one believed me. Because I was older and larger, I was always considered to be the aggressor, even when I was being violently assaulted in my sleep. Living with her was a nightmare. The most uncomfortable moment between us wasn't something she did to me. It was something I considered doing to her. I'd been sent up to the crawl space to get an ornament. You could only access it from a ladder in the garage. When I grabbed it and turned around, she was at the top of the ladder, staring at me. There wasn't any room for her to come up, she was just waiting there. Staring. She told me to get out of the way, and I told her I couldn't. There wasn't room for 2 people in the crawl space. She'd have to go back down the ladder. She immediately switched to rage. She said she hated me, and she wasn't going to let me down from the crawl space. It was 110 degrees in there, and I was already exhausted. I remember thinking, she's at the top of a ladder, over a cement floor. I could make this stop. I'd just say it was an accident. I'm only 12. No one would convict me. As soon as I thought that, her face suddenly went blank, and she went back down the ladder. I had my son when I was 21 years old. He was unplanned. His mother and I had been together for a little over a year when she got pregnant, I was working at a pizza place when he was born. I remember the first time I saw him, he had big blue eyes and looked a lot like his mother. I loved him from the first time I saw him. I told myself I was going to do whatever it takes to bring him happiness. The first 3 months were wonderful. I was learning how to be a father and spent a lot of time with him. Times got rough, money was a problem and my relationship with his mother was a disaster. We fought a lot, screamed, I regret those screams. She developed a painkillers addiction after an operation and there was a constant malaise when we were together. She wasn't the same. I tried to help her but she wouldn't let me. More fighting ensued. A week after his first birthday I found out that his mother had been cheating on me. There was no reconciliation possible, it was broken. I moved out, tried to get custody but lost in court. Only saw him every 2 weeks. He was a normal child, liked Pokemon a lot, we would watch it together when he was at my place. Gave him gifts, cuddled him, told him I loved him and was proud of him while he was growing up and then things changed. At around 8 years old he became distant, rarely talked, was prone to fits and spent most of his time in his room. I tried to get him to talk to me but it was of no use. I saw a huge bruise on his left shoulder one day, I asked him where he got it, he shrugged it off. Then it was a broken finger, and then a rib. I contacted the police, his mother said he was clumsy and always fell but my son finally admitted that she beat him but the cops did nothing. I finally got his custody when he was 12, his mother took too much pain meds and had set fire to her apartment. She was declared unfit. He was never the same, the joyful child he was gone. I tried to get him help but he'd run off. I tried to get him to meet a counselor but he ditched the meeting. As he was going through adolescence I was seeing less and less of him, he started to hang out with questionable kids and got into pretty hard drugs. I did what I could to get him out of this slippery slope but to no use. He hated me, the more I told him I loved him, the more he despised me. I found heroin needles on his room's floor, when I questioned him about it he pulled a knife at me, called me a piece of dog crap and ran away. He was 18. He never came back home. On October 8, 2009 I got a phone call I'll never forget. It was my son, calling from jail. Help me dad, they're saying I raped someone. My son had apparently picked a 14-year-old from the mall, told her he was some kind of talent scout, brought her to his friend's apartment, knocked her out, beat her and raped her mercilessly. He denied, claimed his innocence but evidence was overwhelming. I visited him in prison until one day I asked him why he did it. He looked at me with the coldest face and said I had too much free time on my hands and not enough vagina under my fists. I cried, he laughed. I have not seen him since. Keep in mind, first of all, that sociopath and psychopath aren't clinical diagnoses. I'm answering this using the commonly accepted laypeople's idea of this term. I adopted a 7-year-old boy about 14 years ago. It was the worst decision of my entire life. He was, and is, a sociopath. He lies. He steals. He hurts. He cheats. He can be incredibly superficially charming, but leaves a truly awe-inspiring wake of emotional and physical destruction behind him everywhere he goes. I say awe-inspiring because unless you've spent time around this, unless you truly understand how amazingly destructive this can be to a person's very self, you just don't get it. The psychiatrist during pre-adoption gave some warnings in her brief. The social worker, whose job it is to get kids adopted, pushed and pushed, poo-pooing the psychiatrist's reports, minimizing them and insisting reports from his placements were biased. Now, understand, I am not inexperienced. I have other kids. I've worked with special needs kids. I thought I was prepared. I wasn't. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can prepare someone to have this inflicted on themselves. It changed me. It fundamentally changed me as a person. It did the same to everyone else in the family, in different ways. Friends tell me I am less outgoing, slower to laugh and smile and joke, less prone to trust, and far, far, too matter-of-fact and blasé about everything. I've developed the latter as a survival defense mechanism. One learns quickly, one simply cannot react emotionally to anything. At all. Ever. As it will be used brutally against you. Even when as a teen he steals your car, ignores you when confronting him in the driveway as he attempts to make his getaway, then runs over you in the process, hurting you fairly badly. And then driving away while you lie there screaming. And then coming back hours later, and acting as if literally nothing has happened. Even conning the authorities into thinking it was a silly accident despite testimony and another witness account. He has stolen more things than I can imagine from home. Game consoles, electronics, computers. He is indiscriminate. Now an adult, he steals from children, just to pawn the stuff to pay off his dealer so he doesn't get beat. He's never held down a job for more than a week or two, and that only 3 or 4 times in his life. He survives by manipulating and stealing. But, he knows it all and will tell everyone, and me, in detail, how they are doing everything wrong and how easy it is to be wealthy. He doesn't appear to see the irony at all. He lies like most people breathe. Literally, every word that comes out of his mouth is manipulative and untrue in some way. One learns to expect it. Nothing, at all, ever, is at face value. It is horrible. He is horrible. I hate him. But I love him. I spent so much time and effort trying to help. He returned the effort by hurting, manipulating, lying, stealing. I cannot help wishing he would get in a traffic accident, get stabbed, shot, beat up into a coma, disabled. I cannot help feeling like a horrible, disgusting human being, despite everything he's done, for even allowing myself to think this. But I still think it. Again and again. He is no longer living here, but every time nobody is home, we return wondering what will be missing or wrecked. He doesn't get caught, legally. He's just barely smart enough and charming enough to set up others instead, and somehow manage to keep himself out of trouble. Mostly. He's been tuned up by former friends, investigated, etc. But so far has managed to avoid serious repercussions. I have little doubt it will catch up with him eventually. Hopefully somebody won't be badly hurt or die before this happens. It's a constant nightmare. Slowly getting better as our lives move apart, and with the incredible help of friends and family to set and brutally enforce limits. He's a dangerous person though. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that one day I may wake up to a gunshot or a knife wound. Moral of the story. If there's any hint at all, of a kid having no ability for empathy, lack of remorse, no moral development, and incredibly superficially charming, then run. Run fast. Run hard. Run away and never, ever look back. Just get away. I think my mom is a sociopath. I was raised by my grandparents for the first 13 years of my life, but she was in and out for most of that time. When I was 5, her boyfriend tried to choke me to death. She was mad at the time, but afterwards, she didn't report it and we continued to stay with him. My grandpa used to hit me, and was constantly mean to me, made me sit on the floor, wouldn't let me talk around him, threw me outside by my hair, told me I was stupid, worthless, etc. That sucked, but when I went to live with my mother, who'd supposedly cleaned up her act, it got worse. Physical pain and terror are bad, and everything, but my mom tried to unmake me. Her crap messed with my mind, almost drove me insane. By the time I moved out, I was planning to murder her and then myself. And that would not have been the first, even the second time someone tried to kill her. She would act like she was the only person who ever loved me, not an unrealistic concept, considering how everybody else in our life treated me, then be needlessly cruel and nasty. She's a practicing anorexic, so we would crash diet together, and she always told me I would be so pretty if I just lost a few more pounds. When I tried to get recovery for my own anorexia, she was actively negative. She complained about what I was doing to myself when I started to gain weight. Whenever I would try and stand up to her, she would cry and complain that I was taking advantage of her, being a terrible daughter, breaking her heart, etc. Instead of beating on me like my grandpa did, she would torture me. Literally stuff that is against the Geneva Convention. She would keep me awake at night, she would tell me detailed plans for suicide. In the morning she would wake me up by dragging me out of my bed by my feet, screaming the whole time about something I couldn't have possibly done to her. She would alternate concern and violence or threats of violence completely at random. You never knew what she would act like, minute to minute. She's told me before that she treated me so horribly because of my bad karma. If I ever tried to point out how toxic this all was, she would tell me I brought it on myself by being negative. The thing that really makes her a sociopath is that this is not insane behavior. This is just the stuff she did to keep me distracted and confused so that she could get the $300 a month state aid for having me in her house. If I'd ever been aware enough to leave, that money would have gone with me. Which it eventually did when I did leave. She does it to my grandma, she tells her one thing, then another, then confuses them with each other. Then my uncle thinks my grandma is getting dementia, and my mom totally agrees, because she needs grandma's car, or she needs everybody to be too upset that grandma is confused to wonder why grandma is paying part of her rent. Her ex-boyfriend pays her car payment. For a while, she bragged that he still thought they were together, joking that he's too old and ugly. I know she mocks him because he can't get it up. He can't get it up because he has prostate cancer. He's a really nice man, and she will do anything to ensure that she's in his will, and that she gets as much out of him as she can before he dies. To this day she pretends she doesn't understand why she can't have my address. She actually asked me what she'd done to me lately to deserve such horrible treatment. Lately. The only reason she hasn't hurt me lately is because she doesn't know where I am, and only has the most basic details of my life. I'm not a parent, but I have an older sister who I believe would be considered a sociopath. She has torn apart my family, physically hurt us, stolen from us, lied to us, among other terrible things. My mother, the kindest woman in the world, has been completely physically and emotionally ravaged by my sister, Brandy. Brandy was born 8 years ahead of me, in 1981. My mother was married to an abusive alcoholic at the time, Brandy's father, Vic. He disappeared shortly after she was born and never heard from again. However, Mom says she sees a lot of Vic in my sister, that he had a very similar personality. When Brandy was 5, my mom met my dad. She was extremely unhappy with the new addition to the family and would often have random fits of rage and throw things at my dad and become physically violent. My dad just thought she needed to adjust to having a male role model in her life, and she would eventually settle down. That never happened. Shortly after Brandy's 8th birthday, I was born. This caused even more disruption. When I was around 6 months old, she began covering my mouth with her hands, when I wasn't crying. When I was happy. Because happy babies disgusted her. She also began stealing my toys, blankets, and binkies, throwing them in the trash. My parents started to grow really concerned, and started sending her to counseling. They could not figure out why she acted like this. They are kind, loving, caring parents, doing their best. Around this time, they find out they are pregnant again, with my little sister, who was born about a year and a half after I was. When my little sister turns 1, Brandy throws her into a wall and breaks her arm. My parents are extremely scared, frustrated, and unprepared. They decide it might be best for her to live with my grandma, 2 hours away. From 10 to 13, Brandy is molested by my step-grandpa, until his death, we found out years later, and my mom has never forgiven herself. This is when her life really starts to spin out of control. She begins stealing, lying, cheating, sleeping around, etc. She develops an alcohol and drug problem by age 15. She is expelled at age 16. At age 18, she throws my grandma to the ground and steals her car. She ends up with a man who is in his 40s. Chris becomes my brother-in-law. He is an alcoholic, a felon, has a gambling problem, a drug addict, a woman beater, thief, just an all-around bad person. But he is terrified of Brandy. He once told me she is evil, an evil he never wants to experience again. He is currently in hiding with their son, who is also terrified of my sister. She ends up pregnant at 22. She doesn't care. She drinks, smokes, does drugs. My nephew is born blind and develops autism. She would contact us when she needed something, but we could never find her. She would find us, and it always ended up hurting. She runs away from everyone with her son and abandons him at age 4 in a crib in an apartment in Alaska. He is found 3 days later, extremely malnourished, laying in his own poop. It was horrible. She's 32 now. I have no idea where she is at the moment. My parents have a restraining order against her, and moved. Here's a list of horrible things she has done to us. Stolen my vehicle and my mom's, broke into my parents' home and smashed every single dish and pulled everything from the cabinets and pantry into a giant pile in the middle of the kitchen. Tried to stab my dad. Tried to stab me. Abandoned my little sister and me at a mall 6 hours from home when we were 11 and 12. Covered my little sister's mirror in her blood, after she slit her wrists. Tried to steal my identity. Accused my brother-in-law of raping her. Tried to smother my grandmother in the hospital, she blames everything on her, etc. She always leaves a horrible mess of destruction and pain in her wake. She cons people for fun. She uses women and men. I'm sure she's probably killed someone at some point in her life, or will. She is pretty and extremely charming, until she has a complete breakdown. I don't even know how to explain the feeling she gives me. It is on a level of creepy I have never experienced other than with her. Just her smile makes me want to vomit. My brother is schizophrenic, a drug abuser and an alcoholic. His schizophrenia was not diagnosed for a long time and as a result he wasn't properly treated until very late in his life. Growing up with him was a nightmare. He would physically assault my sisters and I. He would steal money, he would take our bikes and wreck them. He would destroy things that he knew we liked. He would get raging drunk or stoned and launch into violent episodes every holiday. Hell, all the time, but the holidays really got him going. It once took 6 cops to wrestle him into submission to be hauled off to get medical or mental treatment. The best parts of my childhood, pre-getting my license, were when his butt was in various mental institutions. It meant we finally had peace in the house. The list of hurts, assaults, thefts, attacking any friends we allowed over, goes on and on and on, and it is very hard to fully articulate what it was like growing with him. I could list dozens and dozens of hurts that evil sack of crap did to my sisters and I. And each would not do justice to describing the living hell it was to deal with him. I have read stories about people having abusive parents, and it is the same sort of thing. My parents were divorced and my mom did her best, but what can one do with that, when you have to work all day and all you want to do at the end of the day is crash? The only good part of it all was that he consumed all of my mother's energy, so I was completely unsupervised, and when I got my license, I got myself a car and I was pretty much never home after. In the summer I would split for weeks. As a 16-year-old I drove to the Outer Banks of North Carolina from Charlottesville. It is about a 45 minutes drive, with nowhere to stay, and lived out of the car, crashing at friends' places, sleeping on porches of vacation homes for about a week. I did this with very little money and with no one knowing I had done it other than a few friends I hung around with. I actually had a ton of fun in high school, and when I got to college I loved life. Mental illness is a serious disability, and living with a disabled person is a nightmare. My brother is in jail. He's adopted, which is only important because it means I can sleep at night knowing that I don't possess the potential that he has. He has ADHS, FAE, FAD, ODD, ODS, RAD, and is bipolar and very aggressive. He doesn't have a legal note that he's a sociopath, since he was put in prison before he was 18, but if you look up the definition, it describes him perfectly. The first time I realized that gave me chills. I could go into detail about him, but the short of it is, I hate him. He's my brother, and regardless of how he joined the family, that is a fact. But after he molested children and tried to kill my father, I stopped talking to him. That was 5 or 6 years ago, I've lost count. That boy ruined my family and stole my childhood. Instead of happy memories, I have the memories of our town's cops ingrained in my head. Instead of enjoying childhood, I had to know about my mother trying to kill herself and having my father coming and crying to me while I was barely a teenager. The worst part of it all is watching my parents. For everything my brother did to me, he was just who he was, a manipulative sociopath. For my parents, he was their son and they were doing everything they could do for him. Even after he tried to kill my dad is still his biggest advocate and believes he can change. It is heartbreaking to see. I know my parents are split in emotions depending on the day. Some days they believe he's making progress and will see the light. Those are the hardest, as I have to decide whether to remind them he's manipulating them to get what he wants, or if I should let them have false hope. Some days they feel the way I do, that he has driven them to bankruptcy, ruined their futures and made them miss their backburner daughter's life. I am a step-parent to a boy whom I believe to be a psychopath. I met his father 5.5 years ago, and my stepson, let's call him B, had just turned 2. I had my own son, known as E, who was 3. At the time B had just started throwing fits. We, of course, thought they were from the terrible 2s. We thought it would stop. B's mom had always been in his life, but had never had custody. Just visitation, which was never regular, but she saw him at least once a month. She wasn't a horrible mother, and still isn't. But when she lived with anyone, she would foist all childcare responsibilities to that person. She also has bipolarity running in her family. They all pull crazy stunts, but for the most part, are just good enough to pass within societal standards. When B turned 3, he continued his fit throwing, but including urinating on things and himself to get revenge for punishment. We continued to discipline him with timeouts, spankings, or taking toys away, but we still thought it was just a phase. 3 months before he turned 4, B's father and I got married. We also started him in counseling. We kept him in it for a long while, even though it only seemed to make him worse. There was never a day without a fit. We also started him in a preschool for 3-year-olds. I also worked there, but not with him. I was ashamed/embarrassed because he constantly threw stuff, screaming, hitting, kicking fits over things like using the restroom, washing his hands, or putting toys away. We eventually couldn't afford his counseling anymore due to other medical bills. His behavior continued into kindergarten. His teacher believed he had ADD because he refused to pay attention and do his work. He eventually told the school counselor that he just didn't want to do it. This is a continuing problem today. We battle over it constantly, and not just with schoolwork, but the basic kid things, personal hygiene, cleaning his room, chores, helping around the house at all, etc. He is now 7.5. He still throws screaming, raging fits. He also still urinates for revenge. I have to clean his bathroom constantly because when he gets mad, he goes in and pees all over the floor and shower curtain. He also lies in bed every morning and pees himself, then changes his underwear. He does that even when he hasn't been in trouble. He refuses to wash himself in the shower. It's been weeks since he last washed his hair. We've simply given up on that. He refuses to do the majority of his homework. He constantly lies about everything. He makes up grand stories about all kinds of stuff, from things you can't really do in a Minecraft game to saying my mother punched him. He takes anything you say and twists it wildly around in his head, then throws it back at you, starting that you hate him or want him to die or want to kill him. He has ripped up his own clothing, his toys, his bedding, and anything else he can lay his hands on. He also tried to manipulate every situation he can and has been known to.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Steal, particularly from school. No matter what you do or say or try, he will argue with you until he's won or thinks he has. No matter what we do or where we go, even if it's just for him, he's unhappy. Always, always unhappy. He has never been molested or touched by anyone. We know this for certain and have had him evaluated by his new counselor just in case. Our families don't have extended contact with him for all the reasons listed, but my mother generally keeps him one night every 2 weeks. His mother's family are hugely into Bikers Against Child Abuse. We know them all personally, and no one new has come into his life. Plus, when he's with his mom, who is now a lesbian, he generally doesn't see her family much. The reason I'm telling this is because his latest terrible behavior is sexual. The first time he was alone with his Kindle, 15 minutes while my mother did laundry, he looked up boobs on YouTube and watched a bunch of videos. He got in a lot of trouble, including having no Kindle and no YouTube access, but went to his mom's and did the same thing, but tried to show his little 6-year-old sister. Also, within the last year, he has told E that he has touched his sister's boobs and peeped on her while she's naked. Not to mention all the times he has touched E's private parts, including an incident when he put his mouth on E's crotch, E was wearing jeans, and bit down. He also touched our toddler S's behind repeatedly, in a not nice way. He is no longer allowed to be with him alone. He is currently back in counseling. Although there has been no improvement in months and the counselor is running out of ideas. How do I feel about him? Honestly, I can't stand him. I know he's only 7, but he has ripped our family apart. My husband and I are completely different people than we ever were. We are tired and stressed from the daily battle with him. We are sad and drained from our own feelings toward him. And we are guilty. So heavily and deeply guilty. My husband is especially guilty, feeling that he put this awful burden on me, E, and S. This is a child I have loved with my whole heart. I would say that at one time, I even loved him more than my son, E, but the continued conflict and screaming and hate he spews has caused me to retract a lot of that love. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I care for him every single day, all day. I will continue to do so, but when he turns 18, I'm not sure what will happen. My hope is that he gets better, but I honestly no longer believe that will ever happen. Thanks for listening to Radio TTS Long Play. Hit the subscribe button and activate the notification bell for more long videos. Click the right box for the long play playlist. Let us know in the comments what the next long play video should be about.